Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to get back into your word and continue our studies. Be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word empathy, as we've defined the empathy being the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. We know through the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, that He indwells us with so many things that can help us relate to others. And as we find in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now these all can apply in a way to empathy, because when you have the relatability that it takes to empathize someone else's situation, in that you can apply these fruits of the Spirit. When you empathize with someone's condition or their situation, then you can express the love and the joy and the peace, long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so forth. Because having a compassion to help someone else, having a desire, if you have that and apply empathy, that relatability, then you have a better way of reaching that individual. As we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking it up here in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So through the process of being comforted by God, then we can also share that comfort with others that are in similar situations or in situations that we can relate to and have empathy with. So in doing so, we are actually sharing what the Lord has blessed us with. Because you may have had a hardening of your heart prior to becoming a born-again Christian. And with the Holy Ghost coming into you and sort of tenderizing you and drawing you along, developing you, and as you grow, you can achieve this level of compassion and empathy for someone else. And it comes by way of the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we can see here Paul teaching us and reminding us about his experiences. And is one of the ways that we can have empathy for someone else is the relatability of our own experiences with what someone else is going through. Because we can tap into what we've been through, and then that gives us a better relatability to someone else who might be entering into the same kind of a challenge or a similar challenge that you can relate to, such as Paul is emphasizing here about some of the experiences that he's been through, which given him a vast array of opportunities to relate with others and the tribulations and problems and concerns that someone else may have. So let's pick it up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 16. This, of course, is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, where it reads, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Now here he's just saying, let me boast a little bit about what I have experienced. Let me tell you a little bit what I have went through. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Here he's just given us another connection of some relatability. If you go through certain sufferings, then you know you're feeling that. You're experiencing that. And what are you going to do with that? Paul teaching here reads, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Someone else might be able to brag a little bit or talk about a little bit of their experiences. Now Paul's letting us know, let me tell you a little bit about my experiences. Let me boast a little bit about what I have suffered. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Now this in death off or often is close to death experiences that Paul had been through. Now he's comparing himself to the others that were boasting about how much they had been through, how much they had experienced, how it gave them a better relatability or something. They were bragging a little bit. And Paul's like, well, let me set you in order here. Let me bring you up to speed on what I have been through. See if you can compare to that. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now these 40 stripes, he was beaten with a whip. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He's putting in here not only the physical things that he has experienced, all this pain and suffering and anguish and challenges, obstacles that was part of his past. He also included in here the awesome responsibility and pressure of being concerned and in the care of the churches. Here's verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? It's like he can relate to someone who is weak because he has been in that weakened state. Who is offended and I burn not? Like he is pointing out right here that he has that empathy. He can look at someone's weakness and feel that weakness. He can look at someone as being offended or hear about someone offended and he can feel that offense because he can go back and relate to what he had been through himself. And that's what we got to really think about when we're thinking about empathy, because it's an ability to be able to relate to somebody else because you can feel that pain because you may have gone through the exact same thing or something even far worse. Verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Like if he needs to get a little bit of glory, it's because look at all the stuff that he's been going through. going through and continuing to go through as he was writing this. He was incarcerated. So his sufferings and persecutions and challenges were not over yet. So he was having even more opportunities to be able to relate to others, because he sure went through a lot in his life. And what we're looking at here and learning is that we can tap into our life's experiences and use those to help us to be relatable to others, and go back and take some of those feelings, those emotions that we went through, and help us to have more of a compassion and a desire to help someone else through a similar situation. All right, if you will, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Now, we know that it's very important for us as born-again Christians to express and show and display the fruits of the Spirit, and to behave properly to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And through our desire to bring honor and glory to the Lord, we share the things that He has blessed us with, such as the love that He mentioned earlier. And we need to behave properly to always be representatives, as it says, ambassadors of God. And let's look at that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It reads, "If any then be risen with Christ," that's the born-again Christians, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Now he's pointing out here the things that we need to kill off, to mortify, to separate from those ungodly behaviors that we were once a part of. In verse 7, "In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." Note, this is talking about experiences that we have had, the ungodly things that we have participated in. And in those experiences, there is still opportunities to look back at those and use those to help us have better empathy for someone else that might be going through the same tribulation, the same persecution, the same challenges, as well as the same temptations, the temptations to do evil. And in that, we can relate to others, because we can look back and remember when we were tempted of such things. But now he's telling us what we need to be doing. In verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." We can look back and remember the things that we once did, but we need to put them off. You can still tap into the memory of those to give you relatability to someone else that might be having those challenges, but not to be involved in doing them. Verse 10. "And have put on the new man." We've put off the dead, we've put away the old man and his deeds, and we've put on the new man. Because when we become born again, we become a new creature in Christ. We become brought back to life, quickened, as it says, spiritually alive. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, the beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This charity is a very interesting word, because charity is not just giving out gifts. You see somebody has a need, you just give them a gift because it makes you feel good. No, charity is the application of true empathy and love for someone else, and a concern for their well-being. It isn't that you want to feel good because you've given somebody something. That's the wrong attitude to have. But when you truly want to reach out and help someone, it's because you have that level of relatability because of your life's experiences, because of the things that you've gone through, like Paul just teaching us about, or because of the relatability of the sinful things that you had once participated in, and you see somebody else trapped in that, you have that relatability, that empathy, and in that you can apply the charity. A real, sincere concern for someone else's well-being. And that is the very important thing to display as truly born-again Christians. And verse 15 here is awesome. It reads, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." That being thankful for what the Lord has done for you, even thankful for your life's experiences that you can tap into to give you the ability to be able to relate to someone else. Verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That giving thanks. Over and over we see that emphasized in the scriptures. To be thankful. To be thankful for the things that you have experienced. To be thankful for the things that you have overcome. To be thankful for the blessings that the Lord has given you. There's so many things to be thankful for, and we need to truly be thankful every day. We have in this country, of course, Thanksgiving Day, a special day set aside to give thanks to God for the blessings, but we need to be thankful every day. Not just one day of the year, but every single day, giving thanks for everything that He has blessed us with. So, so many things. All right, now we're looking at Hebrews chapter 4. And here we can see how the Lord Himself can relate to us. Because Jesus came down, took on flesh, lived amongst us some 33 years, suffered as a human being, lived in this world, and was tortured, was tempted, and was brutalized, and died on that cross, took on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And in doing so, He became more relatable to us, that we can look at Him and His experiences and know that He was right down here with us, amongst us, so that we can better relate and He can better relate to us. As we see here in Hebrews chapter 4, and they mention this briefly in verse 13 through 16, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Of course, he's speaking about Jesus Christ and the fact that He sees everything, knows everything, and sees everything that's going on. Read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," of course, that's Jesus Christ, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." So, His ability to relate to us, and now He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Lived down here amongst us, was tempted with things, everything the devil could come up with. He tried to trip Jesus up every way he possibly could, but he could not. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, sinless life. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can boldly approach the throne of grace because we trust in Jesus Christ, in His finished work, not because we've achieved something great, but standing on the grace, the unmerited favor that He pours upon us, the relatability that we can have with Him and Him with us. All right, let's look at one more here in Hebrews chapter 13. Some teaching here for us as well, where it reads, let brotherly love continue. Now, this brotherly love is specifically to the born-again Christians amongst the Christians. Brotherly love. You are not brothers and sisters to the world out there, to the ungodly, until you share the gospel with them and they receive the Lord and become part of the family. Then they are your brothers and sisters. But here he's speaking to the relationship of Christians. Sad to say, way too many times that relationship is not so good. Way too many times you see churches divide up over concerns that were something that should have been taken care of instead of let fester and grow. We need to continue in brotherly love. And forgiveness is a big part of that. Chapter 13 again. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. It's an interesting verse there that we could do some studying on, but let's continue. Remember them that are in bonds. Now here's where he's telling us about the relatability. We need to look at those out there that are in bonds. Now, this isn't just talking about somebody that might be in prison. Those that are bound by Satan and those sins is what he's really speaking of here. Is because we were once in bonds before ourselves. Jesus Christ loosed us from Satan, freed us from that situation. And when we look and see someone else who is bound by their sin, who is in bonds, we can relate to that. We just remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. There again, if we can tap into our life's experiences, like we have seen here in the records of what Paul had went through. Of course, most of us have not even come close to what Paul had went through, but there are still things in all of our lives that we can look back into and see that can give us the opportunity to empathize with someone else who's going through that same situation or a similar situation, whether it be, as we said already, the temptations or the persecutions of life itself. When we look back at those experiences and then we can see someone else's, then we can approach them in a way that gives us a far greater reliability. So be thankful for even those things that you've been through that aren't so pleasant, like Paul was referring to there. They can build us up, they can give us strength, they can give us relatability so that we can have more compassion for someone else, so that we can have true empathy for someone else, and in that open the doors for sharing the love and the light of Jesus Christ to that individual, which is ultimately all of our assignments, all of our desire should be as well, to bring honor and glory to the Lord and go out and to do the Great Commission and to preach and teach the gospel to all mankind, to every creature upon the earth, because that is truly the Great Commission that He gives us there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So let's take that Great Commission, let's take all the many experiences that we have and relatability that we have, apply true empathy, true charity, true love, and do the task that He has set before all of us to do. Because after all, it's an awesome opportunity to be able to be a born-again Christian. In this dark world, and it seems like the times are getting darker and darker, which allows us to shine that light of Jesus Christ into that dark world, which will be even brighter and brighter because it is so dark out there. Let's all take that opportunity to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for the many, many things you give us. And it's so awesome that you allow us to have the opportunity to study your word. Help us realize the importance of doing that and to truly appreciate your word that you have preserved for us to be able to study. And all the many things that you can teach us directly by way of the Holy Ghost. And help all of us have the boldness to step on up, to get on out there, and to be able to share what you've given us with others. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.